League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Phil Gillen.
Hard G.
Hard G.
That's my nickname.
It is now. You see now, Killy P start.
Oh, God, yeah. And most dangerous podcast crew.
Yeah. Oh, fucking hell, yeah. To episode 4, season 2 of the Tottenham Way podcast. We are without Dan Kilpatrick this week, which explains the dodgy intro for a start. He's very selfishly gone on holiday for the second time in a month and a half, I've noticed. He was in Australia when we were supposed to record the first one, and he was away, and now he's in Italy, so someone's earning the big bucks. Speaking of which, I'm Tom, not earning very big bucks. And joining us this week, we have the debutants for the season.
Yes.
Phil Gillen, how are you, mate?
I'm good.
Otherwise known as...
Single Malt Suds.
Second best app on Twitter. I wasn't allowed to say it's the best because Phil told me off. Jim told me off, sorry. welcome. And Sean Walsh as well, how are you, mate?
I'm good, mate. You?
Yeah, good, thank you. We're keeping some semblance of journalistic professionality by having you on. This is all it is, mate. You just get to come on a podcast and go on holiday twice in 2 months.
So, this is the life.
Yeah, this is the life. We're obviously going to talk about the transfer window a little bit later because it's the international break coming up this week. Speaking of which, all five members of the Spurs team that went to the Euros also made it this time around, didn't they? So Kane, Ali, Dyer, Rose and Walker have all gone. Just quickly, any thoughts on that whatsoever? Do you think that there's any surprise in that?
No, well, obviously Walker went off. I haven't actually checked if he was injured or what happened.
He was ill.
Yeah.
He was complaining of being ill before the game, and then I think he got a knock in the penalty area and they just sort of stayed down. So I don't really know what the problem is. But yeah, he's obviously well enough to join up with them. But apart from that, any other surprises?
I don't think so. I think, especially Walker and Rose, I think, have done enough to earn their place in the squad almost on merit. I think they are our best choice fullbacks for England.
Well, it's Klein and Shaw are the other two, aren't they?
Yeah. I'd say right now, but Rose is better than Shaw. And I personally prefer Walker to Klein. I know there's others who don't think so.
I
think Shaw's going to, looks like he's going to have a good season under Mourinho as well. And I think that Allardyce seems to rate him highly. He actually says some really positive things about Dyer as well, so that's positive for him.
I just had to open a window because it's a million degrees in here. One of the biggest talking points seems to be Barkley being left out. The obvious person to drop out of the squad as it is would have been Ali, I suppose. Any surprise whatsoever in that, or do you think Ali's still sort of banking on last season a little bit?
Yeah, I don't think Allardyce was going to make that bold a change, so I'm not really surprised that he's in there. Barkley couldn't feel hard done by to be dropped, I think, but yeah, he didn't feature in the Euros, so I don't know.
I think Ali certainly isn't starting the season the way he would have wanted. I think he's still carrying that Euro form, but I think I've never rated Barkley, so...
No, you haven't. I just think...
He's one of those players that he's got so much technical ability but doesn't really do a lot of good with it.
Adam Lallana's in the squad, just on that. Appropriate and nothing. You mentioned that Ali's not really started the season particularly well. He didn't really have a good Euros. Started on Saturday against Liverpool, as did everyone else that we would have imagined, because there doesn't seem to be many options left in the squad that we can pick from. How do you think Ali got on, but overall, how do you think the overall team performance was, Phil?
Bluntly, not very good, both counts. I was therefore quite happy with the point, if not the performance. I wouldn't have taken a point before the game or anything like that. I thought we were actually going to do quite well against them, so pretty disappointed in that sense. But the way the game panned out, I thought we were really lucky not to probably be three down at half-time even. So the fact that we got an equaliser was quite surprising to me. But, you know, we did. We were better in the second half, but I don't think, again, we didn't do enough to win it. And the same against Everton. I don't think a performance like that should be rewarded with a 3 points. You know, I think
both against Everton and Liverpool, we profited from a really good 10-minute spell where we have scored a goal that maybe that 10 minutes warranted, but we can't really get away with that every single game, can we?
I think it's really annoying as well, because having seen each of the opposing lineups going into every game this season, I've been thinking, okay, good, we should do them by about two or three here.
Yeah.
And to have only had 5 points from that is a bit frustrating, considering we drew a lot of games last season we should have won.
Well, we're like for like, aren't we?
Yeah.
The games that we've played so far.
Yeah.
Almost identical, obviously, the Liverpool at home game last season was 0-0. But, yeah, it's in all of those games, I think, last season, we Everton away, we could have won. Liverpool at home, we could have won. This time round, it does feel like we've battled our way to just about meriting a point.
Yeah.
What do you think was wrong on Saturday then?
Obviously, Walker going off didn't help early in the first half. That forced Pochettino into making the change, bringing Jansen on, which I think is kind of his, you know, secret weapon from the bench on 65 minutes. Forced us into that change. Never really got going. Eriksen, and again, poor form. Lots of people have been slagging him off, but he, ironically, now this week he's actually is hitting really bad form.
Mm.
So it's kind of justifying people's criticisms of him. So that's a bit disappointing. Obviously, lots of people have stuck up for him, but then to be kind of repaid with these last few games, it's not been encouraging.
What do you think is the problem? We're not going to say anything that probably anyone else haven't said or sort of had the same thoughts, but you know, you said it like it. He puts out a tweet after the Everton game saying something like, "Don't believe everything that you read."
Yeah.
And then you've got the Palace game where, you know, as a team, sort of played half well, but we definitely deserve the win. But Eriksen isn't central to that in any way.
Yeah.
And then he comes out with a performance against Liverpool where he does reserve some really big performances for the bigger games. And for me, Liverpool at home would be considered a big game.
Yeah.
But he was completely anonymous, wasn't he? And he's not the only one, to be fair. But there's nothing, there's no verve there at the moment, is there? And it's a very odd one. So, I mean, Sean, what do you think is behind it? Or is there anything behind it? Is this just a good player having a bad spell?
I'm not sure. I think last season he took quite a bit of unnecessary flack, I think, because he wasn't scoring goals or free kicks. He wasn't making assists. People thought, oh, he must be doing bad. But I think his chance creation and key pass numbers were the best in the league behind Ozil. So he was still there. And when he came out of the team, we looked a lot worse without him. This year, it's almost like if he didn't start on Saturday, I wouldn't have noticed it. But it did not make a difference. He had two really good chances in the start of the second half, I think it was. One of them was,
he
just had that run. He scored a shot.
Yeah.
That reminds me of the miss, not the miss, we made a counter-attack against Paris last week and he chipped in the ball, didn't he?
Yeah, he just fell over and it was almost like the keeper, yeah.
I don't know. It must be a confidence thing, because I've never seen him like this for us.
And in fact, you mentioned, Tom, that he tweeted after the Everton game about his contract. That is not like him at all. He usually is the most bland. His Instagram and his Twitter feed is very quiet. Doesn't really, not really in the spotlight at all. So maybe that does speak that he's the contract stuff is the problem. But I don't know. I think that he might just be going through a stinker.
Yeah, the problem, of course, is that there's no one that we can actually replace him with. Not realistically, anyway. Son was on the bench on Saturday, wasn't he? But he wasn't even used in the last 10 minutes. It was Onana that was brought on ahead of him, and Onana was very much used to come on the wing. What is it with Son at the moment? I'm not entirely sold on him, but I definitely think he's a better option than we've got.
Yeah, same. I think that I'd be really surprised if we got rid of him, and I would imagine it's down to something that's happened behind the scenes as opposed to his footballing ability. The fact that it seemed like he'd agreed terms with who who was it, Wolfsburg? And then they put a bid in as well. So, and you know, I don't know. It's not looking good for him. I'd be so surprised if we, you know, not to jump ahead into the transfer stuff, we got rid of him and Chadli at the same time. That'd be quite concerning, I think.
Chadli is having the medical today, is that right? And it's West Brom, 13 odd million.
Might be gone by the time this comes out.
He could be gone.
He was holding up the shirt, actually.
Was he?
Yeah, I think so.
Right, okay. We'll talk a little bit about Chadli in between the Liverpool stuff and the transfer window, because we do need to touch on him a little bit. But in terms of the game itself, or back to the game itself, I don't think I've ever seen a team miss a player like we missed Dembele. Certainly Spurs haven't missed a footballer like we missed Moussa Dembele. And it's not just this season, you know, you go back to last season, after the Chelsea game, it was obviously Southampton and Newcastle, and all right, they were poor team performances and we should have got it over the line, but you have to think that we would have been a lot better placed with Dembele in the team. Mm. And we've got another two games without him, is it right? Did he have six?
Six, yeah.
Oh, so that's the fifth, so he's back to Sunderland. Right, okay. Who he could have gone to this time last year.
Yeah. Quite a turnaround.
God, yeah. the way that I think that we're dealing with this hole, literally we're putting Wanyama in there.
Mm-hmm.
He can't actually perform that role, but I think we saw last season that you can't replace Dembele, and certainly Tom Carroll or Ryan Mason aren't going to be able to do that. So I think we're just kind of trying to, at least if you can't do the things going forward, do the things going the other way, you know, be a destroyer. And maybe with Dyer having to go right back on Saturday, maybe that screwed that whole plan up, but it wasn't exactly working perfectly beforehand.
Yeah.
Is it our only option, Sean? Is that all that we can do at the moment, and just kind of wait and try and just muddle through until we've got Dembele back? Because surely it's not something you can rely on all season, is it?
In an ideal world, we'll sign cover in the final 2 days of the transfer window, because I've got a really bad feeling that once he comes back, he's going to do his ACL or something like that, and we'll be without him, and we'll be so, so buggered.
Yeah.
And it makes even less sense now that we're shipping off Mason with Ben Taleb already gone. And I don't know if you guys have seen Ben Taleb's individual highlights from his Schalke debut, but
he was handy.
He did a lot more in the 15 minutes he was on for them than any of the three centre mids we played.
I mean, he's on loan, isn't he?
Yeah.
But it's as good as, with everything that's happened in the last 18 months or so, he's as good as gone, isn't he?
I think he would
have been the man to replace, in the most natural fit anyway. He's going forward and backwards, he's a very, very good player. He's not as good as Dembele, and one day he might be, but it doesn't look like it's going to be for us, does it?
It's so annoying. I keep chiming on about this. It was the home game against Everton last year, and we absolutely played them off the park. We had so much control in the game. We were just, Kane missed a couple of one-on-ones, Ryan Messi missed a one-on-one, but with Dyer and Ben Taleb in midfield, we overran them. And Everton are a team based on possession, playing forward-thinking football. Mm. So to have done that, I'm so, so disappointed that we didn't really see him again after that.
Yeah. I think as well, if you look at it quite literally, on Saturday we had an issue where Dyer had to go at full-back. To have a central midfielder that we could have brought off the bench, because in the end, like I say, we brought Janssen on and Ali dropped a little bit to sit with Wanyama, and suddenly a game plan that wasn't particularly going well with the players that Potts wanted to start with was all completely messed up, and we had to almost start again. And then it's kind of when Liverpool were in the ascendancy.
Is that a word?
It's all going wrong. I'm making up stuff. But it was, it kind of compounded it upset a little bit of rhythm. If we were keeping him at arm's length just about, then that is going to, you know, that's going to cause a bit of trouble. But Ben Taleb would have been the perfect option on the bench, wouldn't he? Mason would have been a good option, really, but maybe his stock's fallen low enough that we just can't trust him enough. But Ben Taleb has got every ingredient to be a really good footballer, and he's going to bite us on the arse, isn't it?
It's definitely going to break down the line.
I mean, you say it is a loan, but I think that's a loan because they just want him out the door as quick as possible, as opposed to with the eye to have
figure on it as well, isn't there?
17 million?
It's something like 17 and 20 million. And that's
Schalke can afford that, and he'll do enough to impress them to make them want to exercise that option.
Yeah, crazy. And very sad as well. We didn't really touch on that on the pod when he went. I think we mentioned it, but we never really discussed it. And I suppose that
maybe Liverpool was the first time that we really noticed that we were lacking that option. Just one of the many positions, or few positions, that we seem to be really light in at the moment. We should talk about Rose's goal as well, because I think Rose, out of everyone, was probably one of the better performers that we had, and Toby as well. Toby was terrific in that second half. Jan's still quite clearly short of match fitness, but I really like Rose's finish as well, because I would have, I'm not in any way a professional footballer, but that would have been going out the gap in the stadium. I would have panicked.
Came for a shin in the end, I think.
Sorry?
Came for a shin in the end.
Yeah, he definitely skewed it, didn't he? Yeah, he definitely. But it kind of did him a bit of a favour in the end. But do you think it's completely undeserved, or do you think that if we'd have come away from that one nil loss to a penalty after all the pressure they
got
on, do you think it would have been harsh, or...?
I was there. I was on the front row of the south stand, so from where the goal was scored, I could barely see it because it was on the other side of the hill. Mm. And I was just so surprised that we scored. I wasn't expecting it at all. It was the first time Dyer got up and to the line to cross it in. If we'd been beaten 1-0, I probably would have thought it could have been worse, put it that way.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been happy, but yeah.
I think as well, what was interesting was that when Origi came on, we suddenly looked more comfortable with them with a striker on the pitch.
Yeah.
We looked more, because there was a focus.
Yeah.
And whereas before, when it's one of their 9 central attacking midfielders that they've got, we couldn't deal with that movement, and that they do seem to be able to turn it on against big teams. And we just didn't look prepared for it, really. I think Wanyama looks a little bit lost as well, and I think he's been a good player so far. I think he's had a right for his 3 games. I don't think he was awful on Saturday by any means, but I certainly think it overwhelmed him a little bit in that first half.
For how good our pressing system is, we still don't know really how to combat one.
I mean,
Liverpool away last year was one of the most uncomfortable games to watch of the season. Dortmund, in both games, we didn't really deal them out, probably because it wasn't our first team in both, but couldn't deal with it still.
That's a good point. You can outpress people, but if someone's doing it back to you, I think Match of the Day highlighted it. Their front line wasn't letting Vertonghen out of the world, and I think at the time Rose was deepest to control any aspects of play, and that is how we start attacks. That's what we do. So, is it that Plan B thing that people seem to love having a bit of a go at Poch for? Or
That Plan B is now Janssen coming on, and then we can go over the top. But against Liverpool last season at Anfield, Dembele was getting pressed. Klopp seemed to have clocked it.
Mm.
Dembele dropped deeper, found some space, and then we started to get a bit more joy in the game. But of course, without him, we just don't have that outlet. We don't have that player to really do that. We did break through that line a couple of times, and we got in behind them, or got between the lines, should I say, and we started to have a little bit of joy. But it was just few and far between. We could actually turn the ball over.
I think some of the little ball carrying in that Liverpool away game, and we just didn't have. Well, we had the option to bring him on, but we didn't use it. But I feel like having a nippy winger might have benefited us there a bit.
Yeah, I like Son. I think he's got, he plays well with the ball to feet, and I do think that in games like that, he would have been really handy. So it's, the subs in the end were, the first one was full service with Walker.
Yeah.
But then Onuma came on, didn't he? Was it Mello that went off? Or Kane?
Kane.
And there was another one, I don't even know who it was.
Winks,
oh yeah, last couple of minutes.
For Ericsson, wasn't it?
Yes, I think that sounds about right. It just doesn't. I mean, Kane, I think Kane is something that we need to talk about as well, because he was dreadful.
Yeah.
He really was dreadful. And it's, if everyone's going to mention Ericsson, then we need to chat about Kane. Is that a hangover as well? What we're seeing with Ali, maybe lost a bit of confidence, been played far too much, and that's partly because of his rise and how important he became to the team. But again, we've not really got a like-for-like replacement for him. We've definitely not got a like-for-like for Kane.
Yeah.
What would you do with Kane apart from pretending he's got an injury and stopping Allardyce taking him?
I think you just got to keep playing him. I think what happened last year was, because he didn't really have a summer then, he went to Dunn 21 Championships. And it took him, how many games was it he went without scoring?
I think it was late September that he
Yeah, it was City.
Bournemouth. City, and then he went away to Bournemouth.
Yeah. I think in that time he was working on his all around game. I think that was improving. He just wasn't getting the finish. I think it might be the same again. You gotta keep pushing him and pushing him until he eventually does score. I think in the middle of the season, if it's happening again, then we've got the competition of Janssen, where if we need to drop him, we can.
I think do you think it's going to hurt him to mess about with his position as well? I know it was, again, it was enforced on... Well, no, was it enforced? If we'd have had the right players on the bench or the right players signed already, then do you think Kane would have been kept up front and Janssen would have been kept on the bench? Or was it purely because we looked at him for, this is the best of a bad situation if we put Janssen on now?
I think it was just improvising with what they had.
Do you think in long term that's going to harm Kane? Does he need to stay where he's best last season, which was leading the line with Ali pushing on beyond him, or
I mean, it's hard to argue with that because he was so successful. But again, just to bring it back to Dembele, I don't think he's scored when Dembele isn't on the pitch. I think it's quite a stark statistic in that sense. Again, I mean, not to take the focus off Kane, but the fact that Dembele being a miss because he's a great player is one thing, but the fact that everyone else's form seems to drop so much, no one's kind of stepping into that role. When Eriksen had an off game last season, Lamella would take over. Ali would pick up a few goals when Kane wasn't scoring. We don't have that with Dembele.
It's almost like having a safety feature where if Dembele's got the ball, he's not going to lose it. And for the first time last year, he was doing some really, really productive things with it.
Dembele's like the USB stick. So, like, no matter what, you'll always have the backup version for Dembele, isn't it?
But it makes you think that once he does get back, the players will be more lifted now than if we had won our first three games and thought he's not really that important.
We don't have a player that can take it from the halfway line to the edge of the box, and you need that so much in the team, because after we lost Bale, and it's incomparable, completely different players, completely different positions, but Bale used to get the ball on the edge of his own box and within 5-6 seconds it would be at the edge of the opposition box. Dembele can do that from the halfway line. He can just remove a midfield, especially one as competent, let's say, as Liverpool's was on Saturday. He can completely take them out of the game, and then suddenly he's got right in front of him Eriksen, Lamella, Kane and Ali all making runs. And if you're asking Kane or Ali to perform that role, they're very deep, and Janssen's still learning, learning the league and learning his teammates and learning oppositions, that there's only so much running you can do. He put himself about, Janssen, but I don't really see them playing together long term, and I think that we've been forced into Janssen playing a little bit more than we'd expected to at the moment. Anything else to add on Liverpool?
No, not really. I think, again, not a great performance, decent point.
Do you think Klopp's got the measure of us?
I mean, I think there's something in it. I think he was the first, to my mind, the first manager kind of clocked our system, because we watched that game together, didn't we? We noticed that it was suddenly a completely different Spurs performance. And I think that is down to Klopp.
I think it might be a little bit of the other way around. I think last season, I think they had quite a good record against bigger teams, whereas against us, they can only manage the 2 points. And I think
that's fair.
It's just like a niggling thing, because I think in his press conference he said how annoyed he was.
Maybe we're not a big team.
We are West Brom. We're their West Brom.
And you're saying if you can come to Tottenham and you can win, you should win. And he seemed really, really annoyed not to have taken the 3 points. So I think, I think we've gone a bit under his skin.
Good. I like that. Just something else on Liverpool as well is that, I mean, I don't like him anyway, and nor should anyone. But Mane probably should have been sent off. Two studs up tackles and a dive, which was interesting. Firmino spent about 25 minutes in the face of the ref, and you just, the whole time you're standing there, and all you want, you know, the whole shirt pulling thing has been pulled up now, and how Match of the Day obviously highlighted Vertonghen, but nobody else's. That's been penalised for, I mean, Shawcross is going to be out of a job soon enough, isn't it? But you know they are really hot on this now, and it's this. Mike Dean's given something like four penalties in 3 games.
Mike Dean, gleefully
almost. Oh, legend, absolute legend. I love Mike Dean so much; he's so entertaining. But you know, with this, and then they keep saying year after year, you can't stand in the face of the ref. The whole Vardy thing with John Moss last year.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, Henderson, the amount of moaning that Jordan Henderson does is unbelievable. I mean, I know he's the captain and you can get away with it, but I mean, I wasn't far away from him next to the ref. It's constant, it's swearing, it's in their face, and you can get away with it because he knows that at any point, Henderson can make a bad tackle and he gets a yellow card, which means that if he mouths off, he has to go off.
Mm.
So he's not going to do it to him. But you saw like Lovren went through the back of Kane 2 or 3 times, no yellow cards. I think, was it Rose that got booked in the first half? First tackle, did nothing.
I think so, yeah.
Much less likely to get himself a booking, a second booking. And it's the first opportunity he can get. It's so obvious with Premiership or Premier League referees that I think they've got bigger fish to fry than holding in the box.
Yeah, it is strange. And you're right that they focused on the verbals last season, got that down, and now have focused on something else and forgotten what they were doing. I don't see why that they can't just focus on it and that become part of their repertoire, as it were.
Yeah, they can't.
They just forget about it and they focus on something else.
There has
it's
to be
strange.
A theme.
Yeah.
There's a theme for a season and then that's it. Yeah. Mike Dean's going to give about 20 penalties this season. It's going to be excellent until he manages us. anyway, so we'll move on to the transfer window because there's a lot that we need to talk about. But you mentioned Chadley in the Liverpool review. And it does look like he's gone today. How do you feel about it? Let's take away the aspect of not replacing him and just think of Chadley, the Tottenham player, because he's been here for three years, just over. How do you think he was a successful player?
We signed him, I think, 7 mil from 20.
Mm.
I don't think he ever would have been a first choice under OBB if he had stayed the whole season. I think he was just one of those players to beef up the squad, and that's what he did. I think he did a really good job in Pochettino's first year. He got so many important goals.
Mm.
The opener at Arsenal, never forget.
What a finish that was.
It was a really good move as well. I think that was one of the first examples of us winning at high pitch.
Ericsson won the ball back and then worked
through. Chadley gone.
Against Chelsea as well, he scored.
Yeah.
Did he get two against Chelsea? In the 5-3.
He's got the last goal, didn't he?
Townsend got one, Kane got two.
Rose got one.
Oh, Rose, yeah. So he got one. But, you know, he was capable of turning it on, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And he scored some really good goals. And Stoke at home, do you remember we lost 2-1, but it was like the last minute. And belted it into the top of the goal.
Then he celebrated rather than getting the ball.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe that was his card marked.
Yeah. Yeah. The Arsenal finish as well. The Chelsea goal wasn't half bad as well, but there was another one at Palace last season.
Yeah.
Scored from like after the alley goal. No one really mentions it, but that was a hell of a finish, that. So,
he got some great technique on him.
Yeah.
He scored a cracker against Newcastle for Sherwood as well.
He did.
That was his first goal.
Yeah.
Is that right? We won 4-0. And he won the league as well. He's like, it's all right. It's all relative. But there was something about Chadley that maybe you needed someone like him in the squad.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And I think that the fact that we've got rid of him, you know, one of the players that has Champions League experience, I thought he would have been handy to have in that Champions League campaign, even if it is going to be 3 games. But, you know, I just think he's going to be a big miss. Well, not a big miss, but, well, apart from his...
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason he's going to West Brom.
Yeah, but... maybe he wanted to go. I mean, if that's a different kettle of fish.
Yeah, I suppose. Yeah.
6'2" winger, Pulisic, I love him.
That's a really good point. Yeah, and an arse the size of Belgium. it's a shame. I liked Chadley. I didn't ever feel like I was going to love him in the way that I love other players.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think that it was helped by him being a winger and just not having the slightest bit of speed.
Yeah.
But he was handy, and it is a shame, I think, to see him go. I think there's some other players that I probably would have sooner see go rather than Chadley. Particularly, like I say, if we're not going to get anyone in. So I'll bring that in now. It's a bit of a fire sale at the moment, isn't it? Because you mentioned earlier about some, maybe, we don't know, like, is there a 30 million bid and contract talks already?
Mm.
I mean, if Chadley's gone today and Son's gone tomorrow and we've got a day and a half to fix this, what exactly are we going to do? And there's evidence over the last few windows that we're not really capable of getting deals over the line. So, you know, concern or...?
I'll be concerned if we sell Son. I think he was going to sell one of Chadli and Son. Chadli seems to have gone. Whichever one was more sellable, so he was ready to get rid of either of them. If Son goes as well tomorrow, then I'll start being rather concerned. That'll be it, I think.
I'm incredibly worried. I don't see why we're selling so many perfectly good squad players who are happy to stay, not kick up a fuss.
They're all happy enough, aren't they?
It almost feels like we might be tampering with the good feel we had at the club last year if so many go. Especially without replacing them. I mean, I'm all for promoting youth, and I really like that about Pochettino, but to have this much trust in it, if we're not bringing in any other replacements, it's kind of naive. I mean, when Onuma came on, I don't see what he provided that Son couldn't have provided anymore.
I
understand it. Onuma always been the guy who gets about 5 or 10 minute run arounds just to get some experience but doesn't actually do anything. And if that's the kind of options we're going to be having this season,
I mean, if it's for the greater good, if you like, if in a year's time Onuma's a very viable Dembele replacement and we can attribute it straight down to him getting minutes now and last season against, you know, in the Europa League and coming on in the end of games, then has Poch earned enough trust from everyone at the club, including the fans, to be able to get away with that now? Or are we looking at this being kind of the reason why we might fall short this season, not just of any title talk, forget that, but, you know, top four or anything like that?
I'm split because in the last two transfer windows at the end, we have all felt like a lot more business could have been done. I think first year was there, I think striker and another defender were options that we didn't take up. Last year, certainly, the backup for Kane. And a DM, we were a bit worried about how Dyer would fare there. But we've been fine both of those seasons. So there's a little bit of me thinking, all right, maybe we'll be fine again. I think it's different with Champions League. We're going to need a bigger squad.
Then we're not going to be giving minutes to people like fucking Stambouli anymore. It's not about that anymore. We're not thinking, if we get through the group, then great, and then we'll start taking it seriously. This is the Champions League. We need to start thinking about this properly. Champions League, level player would be Isco, who seems to be out of nowhere. Our hat seems to be in the ring for that, along with the two Milan clubs, apparently Arsenal and apparently Chelsea as well. A player that seems perfectly happy in Madrid, by all accounts. And by all accounts, I mean Andrew Gaffney. No other frame of reference at all. But it seems a bit strange because Marca. The only source they seem to have is the Daily Mirror.
If you've got English sources, it could be anything.
Yeah. So I don't think there's much truth in it. But for them to run the story at all does suggest that there's some sort of propaganda behind it, if you like.
I think Real Madrid own Marca. So I think they control what they publish. There must be something in there.
They pretty much own half of Bale and Modric from us. just set it up. But I don't think they've said anything concrete. But then nobody has said anything concrete. But apparently there is interest. If we're clearing out all these players so we can get a player the caliber of Isco in, does that change everything? Does losing three players, say, and then bringing one player of Isco's quality in, does that change what you feel about us needing this depth? Or is it just someone's going to be coming in who's really good enough for us to get by regardless?
A little bit. I think it's still... I mean, you know, it'd be great if Isco signed, don't get me wrong, but I think that there's still that element that we're still leaving ourselves a little bit short. So that's still a little concern.
I don't know about Isco, actually. I'd love it because he obviously plays for Real Madrid, and apparently Real Madrid fans are quite big fans of his.
He is an incredible player.
But I've got no idea. I really don't know. So it could be, we could be getting someone in. Again, he seems happy to stay there. If he, you know, turns up in Enfield and is like, I used to live in Madrid, mate, and then it gets to November and he's freezing.
Get him over now when it's sunny.
Yeah, it's always like this. Yeah, and then Poch gets his teeth into him and then has him running laps.
I'm not sure. I think that the fact that it's in the news I think that we've been interested or made our interest known, he's not fussed about coming to Spurs. Real Madrid could do with getting rid of him, so they've leaked it.
I think he's still choice attacking with them now. He's fallen down the pecking order, though.
Yeah, they
just the youngster that's gone.
Yeah, Marco Asensio, right. And if James Rodriguez stays, he's only going to be further down the list.
Mm.
So,
is this another Götze?
It might be.
Yeah, I see too many similarities with it. Really,
there's so many.
Götze looked more realistic to me.
Do you think
at the time? Because I think it's might be just being lazy, but he had played in Dortmund's pressing system before.
Mm.
He was.
That's
why he went
back
to Bayern.
Yeah, I think you're right, actually. I think he did. Götze did seem like more of an option. This one just seems a bit.
Yeah, when we sign a player, there's always this talk about, he fits the Poch profile. Isco is a lot based on the way he dribbles.
Mm.
And I'm not too sure about his pressing. I don't know how much he had to do at Real Madrid.
Mm.
Yeah, so, that is a really good point.
Like, especially with no pre-season behind him as well. But he might just be a player that has that level of star quality that he could just fit in regardless.
Yeah. That's it. It's like Van der Vaart. And it's an obvious comparison because he's come straight from Real Madrid and we're just before we're starting the Champions League season. But it does feel like the obvious comparison to make because it's that touch of luxury and, you know, a bit of Ginola and a bit he's lumped in with those names a little bit now because he came in and he was instantly, wasn't much, but it was that instant level above everyone else in the club. Yeah, definitely.
I think you're right about does he fit into the pressing system, but I think the pressing system, we might not necessarily need to get bogged down in that. I think that served a purpose when we had, you know, Rose or Robbie Kilmer, players like Mason, who had certain limitations, picking my words very carefully.
Yeah, yeah.
So we needed to do that press, but now maybe we're relaxing that and opening up the creativity side of it. I don't know, but, you know.
It couldn't hurt to have Isco.
Yeah, no, yeah. Especially if we're not bringing anyone else in.
He's happy to sit on the bench.
And Nkudu?
Apparently been training with us last week.
Training with us the last few days, but I saw something today. Marseille finally got taken over.
Yes.
And he posted something on Instagram that was a bit cryptic.
Wasn't it In the Dark Times?
Yeah.
And he had a picture of his kid or something like that. I'd tell you what. Modern football is so ridiculous. Yeah. You can read that story and then read that Instagram post and just like immediately you've made conclusions about a transfer because who actually knows? But there's probably someone looking in the background of that picture to see what if the curtains say Premier Inn or something like that because he's apparently been in a hotel in London for like a month.
I don't know why have we done this? He's lost the whole pre-season.
Mm.
If he's here, he's been living in a hotel. Okay, he's been training the last few days, but he's lost his entire pre-season.
Is it to do with the takeover? I don't know if you know anything, but
I have no idea.
I mean,
should it?
Possibly. I mean, but the fact that it's happened, I mean,
it
was coincidental or nothing else.
I wonder if there's something legal behind it. Again, I've got no idea, it's all speculation, but I'm wondering if while nobody technically owns the club,
maybe they can't sell an asset.
Yeah, maybe. Like that. Yeah.
Maybe that's what's
one that's valued, one that's got a contract that's valued at whatever amount of X amount of money. Yeah.
Whatever happens, this is going down in the Daniel kind of folklore.
We have got a good question coming later about our favourite transfer cycles, so we will get on to that. Is there anything else that you think that we're really desperately lacking that you think that we can address in the transfer window or should be addressing in the transfer window?
If we don't get Nkudu over the line, then another winger, especially if Son goes.
Yeah,
if Zaha's being talented.
Well, Poch actually, I don't know if it was he said it today, he gave two press. Well, there seems to be some quotes floating around from two interviews. First of all is the one about Dembele, which you probably should have mentioned earlier when we were having a chat, but he said when Dembele doesn't play Tottenham don't exist.
Yeah.
It's
going to be great when he comes to his contract renewal.
Yeah.
Point to that.
I'm surprised nobody's actually photoshopped the picture of him holding his shirt yet with actually nobody holding it, just a floating shirt, because that's the sort of banter that we like. And there was the other one that he very explicitly mentioned Mane in a quote that says, we need more someone who's direct and powerful and pacey. It feels like he's forcing it a little bit now.
Yeah.
Usually, you don't get anything out of him. For him to not just say, not just intimate that he's not 100% happy with his options, but also name a player that perhaps was attainable to us and has gone to a very similar place rival. I feel like he's maybe starting to rock the boat just a bit. Not in any, you know, I'm not suggesting that he's unhappy in any way, but he's trying to force something through here, isn't it?
It's a bit confusing. I mean, I think he also said something about Zaha when he was prompted about Zaha the other day. He said, "I would like a player of this type." So I'm guessing that And I was at...
We all know.
I was at his first press conference of the season. Dropping that.
Yeah. Did Dan take you?
Yeah.
Dan, you were under Dan's wing. Yeah. So we've got protege of Dan here, even if he's selfishly not.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't want to stay in there every 15 minutes.
Yeah, so, someone asked about transfer dealing. I think it was alluding to Wenger and him leaving it late. And he was saying, like, if you leave it late, you're panicking and you're not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And I do feel as a bit hypocritical now that we've left it so late.
It is strange because I was quite happy with what we'd done. I thought our squad's looking all right with
until players started leaving.
Yeah, and then suddenly, this sudden clear out.
And I think everyone was okay with Mason leaving because you thought, okay, if we maybe get another one in, that's fine. And then you just start looking around you and there's more empty chairs every time you look. And you think, where's Nasser going? Where's Son going? And, it's very strange. It's a very strange approach and it just makes me think that there must be something that we're doing that is... I mean, Son came out of nowhere last season, didn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Son, it's quite strange for a £22 million player from a major league to come to another major league, especially at Tottenham where everything's over-reported almost.
Yeah.
For us to not even have a single clue about that and then it just happened. Who knows? Maybe we're just getting better at this.
It was late, but it wasn't close to the deadline at the same time. Like, you thought if a transfer had emerged that late, it would have gone right to the deadline, but it was done within about a day.
Yeah, it was.
Even though by its standards, it was quite late in the window.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Hopefully, we're out of here. We've signed someone.
Yeah.
Maybe.
It's not happening.
Don't get anyone's hopes up. All right, let's move on. Let's do some questions because we might as well. It's been a little bit down low this one. It's a bit difficult, but No, I'm going to do a segue here because it's a good one. Gavin Lewis at Spursy_Gav has asked, does our scattergun transfer approach, so far at least, correlate with Mitchell's impending departure? And that's a good question because since then, it's almost as if he's kind of just trolling us now. It's like, oh yeah, he's rubbish, get rid of him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, my black box is telling me
that. Yeah, no, you can't look at the screen.
Yeah.
Only I can look at the screen.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who's good. Moussa Sissoko.
Yeah. Oh, God, it's happening, isn't
it? We haven't mentioned that name just yet.
It is happening, isn't it? Either on loan or a ridiculous price, it's happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. Last day.
Get used to it.
We tried Verisco, we got Moussa Sissoko.
It's almost a chant. It's almost musical, what you've just said. And it's, as if we didn't have enough to laugh about. For Newcastle fans to laugh at us about. Giving them 16 million to go and spend on, they're actually doing really well in the transfer market, aren't they?
They bought 12.
Yeah,
quite good players, especially the Championship. Today. Good players, Callum Mallon.
Yeah, Callum Mallon.
Who tear the Championship up?
Yeah. Anyway, fuck them. Do you see any correlation at all with the Mitchell stuff?
I don't know. Actually, maybe I'm being naive about.
Bad,
yeah,
aren't
maybe.
We?
Maybe it was the whole black box thing was a nonsense.
Yeah.
We just got rid of them anyway, but.
It might be, but Poch did say that Mitchell was still around the club. There was no ill feeling. He quite made that quite clear.
Yeah, I think has been above board, really, isn't it? The guy's leaving the job at the end of his contract.
Was it that he's rumoured that he might be going to Leicester?
Yeah.
Is there a replacement?
And who's the other one? The guy that we got from Leicester. Is it McKenna or something like that?
Mm.
He's gone to the United
States.
No, McKenna's the under-18s coach,
right.
I think. There's
another guy.
McDermott, something like that. It was a recruitment specialist, if you like. Can't remember what his name is.
McKenzie.
He's just supposedly going to Derby. But it's funny how anyone else, any other team, it wouldn't be news. But it is for us.
Yeah.
Because of so much, there was so much surrounding it when we got him in, wasn't there?
Yeah.
And suddenly a year later, it's all gone a bit sour.
I mean, without knowing like the ins and outs of their day-to-day job and the reasons for them leaving, it could just be that these guys go into a club, they set up a new way of doing things, and then they move on when it's no longer a challenge, no longer interested, but the club continues to follow their methods.
Yeah.
So it might not be, it might not have that bigger impact at all, but
Paul Mitchell's just a temp. Just come in, sort
like a consultant.
Yeah, sort a few things out.
Transfer consultant.
Have to let you go.
We live in the day and age where it's fairly easy to scout someone. I mean, looking at clips on YouTube is as good as scouting was about 10 or 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So the advancements that we've made, and I think Poch can look for you through games of players that he might or might not want. We probably do have quite an extensive scouting range.
We're not going to be.
Some Mitchell signings were quite obvious as well. I mean, I think particularly Alderweireld and Wanyama from Southampton. I think the only real obscure ones were Wimmer and Jai and Son.
Vimmer turned out quite good.
I really like Vimmer. Son, useful option, hasn't hit the hype yet, but if he stays, I think he will.
Definitely potential.
And Jai has always seemed a weird one. And I fear that that's going to be the same kind of signing with Nkudu.
Everyone has a bit of a random punt, though, on something. Yeah. I mean, I guess it's expensive in a way, but...
NG felt like more of a punt than Nkudu does.
Yes.
Similar position.
We were laughing at us last year, wasn't it, when we offered him like 12 mil.
Yeah, that was a robbery.
Yeah, and I think we all thought, well, and there must be a reason why. And I know he's been injured, but there was not really anything last season that suggested.
He put in one good. He got an assist against City, didn't he? He
got an outside of the foot shot against
Liverpool. The assist against City was wasn't it? That was
That's probably not enough.
That's probably
that's probably too rough.
I think
but I saw him against. He came on against Arsenal in the League Cup, and he was almost laughing at himself how bad he was.
Didn't he volley it? Like he did a volley.
That
was a bad game.
He turned on the ball and then just hit it. without really like looking where it was going.
And he's lucky that Fazio had a terrible game in that game because that could have been the turning point. Let's go slightly off topic because it's fun to laugh at them. Nick at Yidnick has asked. Nick. After you're a fan, Sean.
He's a fan of me.
Yeah. Oh, we all are, mate. After seeing West Ham's identity being ripped apart, how glad are you we didn't get the Olympic Stadium? I'm presuming that we're all pretty glad anyway.
Very glad on a lot of them.
I think maybe a wider point that Nick's maybe making there is are we glad that we're going into a stadium that's being custom built purely for us or.
Immeasurably.
Yeah.
Also, it's in like the same area.
Yes.
I mean, if it was in Tottenham, but another place in Tottenham, it wouldn't have the same feel as it would.
People's routines will be the same. Yeah. Not much would actually change. The fact that the pitch is even the same orientation. So you still have a south stand.
Same walk.
You still.
That will make a difference, I think. It's awful, isn't it?
It's terrible and it's hilarious, but it is terrible. Mm. And it is a little bit disgusting. But still hilarious.
I'd rather happen to them than Arsenal. I feel like without Arsenal, we couldn't have survived. But the fact that West Ham are going down the toilet, it doesn't really affect us in terms of rivalry or competitiveness.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, it will benefit them long term.
It has to.
But the at the moment, it's just
literally gaping holes in their stadium, which is abysmal to see.
Apparently, in the game that they had in the Europa League last week, that they lost. There was someone in the stands who I can't remember who it was, but he seems like quite a level-headed guy. He said on Twitter that he was trying to count the amount of shirts that weren't West Ham. There was Liverpool.
There was a third kit there.
There
was apparently saying everyone's. This is turning into Olympic Stadium football. When the Olympics were on, everyone got a ticket no matter who you were and you went.
Brady and Co have definitely tried to change the name to London United at some point, probably.
They probably will, because
West Ham is a very niche club. It's very East End. You have to be from there to really understand what the club is about. It's really, really lost that since leaving Upton Park.
Well, they called it the London Stadium as well, haven't they? When tourists come.
Oh, we're in London.
This is the London Stadium. This isn't the White Hart Lane or the Emirates or whatever. It might be a genius move, but it's not going to get them anywhere with the locals, is it?
They just don't seem to care.
Your core fan base.
And they've only moved down the road. If we'd have gone there.
That's a whole shift.
Do you, this is obviously stuff that we've kind of raked over before, but do you actually think that Levy was going to do it?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
I got a feeling that he was just kind of playing Haringey Council, showing him that we could, I can go and date this other girl.
It does seem a bit weird. I remember the plans were to literally rip up the stadium and build our own.
Which they were never going
to
agree
to. Yeah, they wouldn't have allowed that.
So it just feels like a bit of a...
Yeah. But there seemed enough in it that we actually made it public, we made a bid for it.
Which isn't really like us. We wouldn't really like talk, so I mean obviously we kind of had to because it was a public consultation, all that sort of thing. So, but I just wonder, I mean, again, maybe I'm being really naive about that whole...
I think if it had been offered to him...
£2 million a year, he would have taken it.
I don't think he would have... I think he definitely would have thought about it more than all Spurs fans maybe would like to think. At the end of the day, he's probably going to be there for 4 or 5 years after our new stadium's there.
Yeah.
Earn enough to make enough to sell the club.
Yeah.
The club gets sold. We don't know who to. Hopefully he's going to sell it within the right interests of the club. But there's no real denying that he's got an affection for the club. There's no love. And I think that's very different. And I think, you know, it's... I definitely think that he would have done it had the right circumstances come up. Because he was going to want... The other part of the offer was that he was going to... rebuild Crystal Palace, wasn't it?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I was there yesterday. It's a shithole. it's really awful.
Those dinosaurs that
just
made up. It's just
hilarious. Really weird. There's only about four as well. Yeah. No, if you've ever been to Crystal Palace, if you're going to Crystal Palace, go to the park and then just do what they call the dinosaur trail. There are four big lizards that they've kind of carved out of wood. And then not really much else. And then
Just kind of thought, well, we didn't know much about dinosaurs. This has really gone off. But it's just, they didn't know what dinosaurs looked like, so they just decided, I think probably like this.
They're just mixed in with, like, stags. Yeah. It's really weird. It's a bit shit, isn't it? But, we've gone massively off topic there. Yeah. Final question. Let's wrap this up. Brett at BR Nurse has asked, what have been your favourite/least favourite Spurs transfer sagas? Great question to finish, considering we're going to probably add to this list over the next 3 days. Yeah.
Preemptive Musa Sissoko.
Yeah. I will start. I mean, there's the classics of the Rivaldos.
Yeah.
Kaká was always mentioned at the sort of twilight.
And then Harry Redknapp always come out and said, Kaká doesn't know who we are.
Yeah.
Stop dreaming.
And everyone was just like...
Thanks, Harry.
Yeah, but then also quite true. Probably doesn't really have an idea of who we are.
Favourite's definitely got to be Van der Vaart.
Van der Vaart was...
It's 5 minutes of the deadline and it came out of nowhere.
Yeah, it wasn't even a saga, but it turned into 4 hours of surely not.
Because it was like, I think it was 5 minutes before the deadline, Sky Sports went to break, they were like, oh, Tottenham have just agreed a deal for this World Cup finalist. And I'm thinking, who the hell could it be?
Yeah, and I then thought it was
the deadline went. The deadline went and... No one knew if it was done. We had to wait till the next day. It could be like a fax machine problem. And I'm thinking, that's going to fall through, isn't it? It should just be us.
That's a positive example. Mine is always, Stuart Downing. Do you remember we got linked with him wherever he was? We'd probably be linked with him now, to be honest. So that's not...
To be fair, we didn't sign him, so I consider that a positive.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So he just dogged us. And then he was slagging us off as well. So that was a...
Yeah.
He didn't write a nice letter to us. He said that he wasn't...
I always found that... he didn't write the letter, the Rivaldo template letter that every player seems to have on their desktop now. We were always linked with Anelka. Underhand, but we were definitely always in for Anelka.
Like same with Gary Cahill and too much Chelsea.
Yeah, kind of. There was all these players that you thought I'd be up for that. Yeah. Bellamy as well, but.
Yeah.
Never anything too concrete, but I would have been quite happy with it in a this could be awful. Yeah. But very entertaining while it happens way. Is there anyone that we've like had a really protracted thing over that we've actually managed to get over the line and then we're like, oh, I can see why, you know?
Sandro was a bit of a...
That
took like 2 or 3 windows.
Because no one knew who he was, he wasn't Europe, and then he dropped off the radar. And that was after Damiel. So he was the new Damiel.
But we signed him and then he played a lot of football, didn't he? So we didn't play him until that League Cup game against Arsenal.
Yeah.
That was a positive one. Damiel less so. That was peak Spurs community ITK.
That was.
Yeah, he was blue and yellow.
Luis is another one that happened quite quickly.
Yeah, I'd be upset about that. That would have been a great one to just draw out, like Van der Vaart. Love it to have gone out maybe a little bit overnight. That would have been.
It was a really like for the we decided. I remember thinking, at the time, Luis was one of the best keepers, not at a top club. So for us to sign, I thought that was quite a big coup.
Massive.
Vertonghen was a bit of a saga, seems to remember. Yeah. There was a point where he was doing press conferences and he was saying, no, I'm happy to stay here. Even though he was kind of, before then, it looked like he was out.
Because Redknapp actually signed him. I know the club signed him technically, but it was while Redknapp was still there, just before AVB came in. We could mention the players that we've been linked with but haven't actually got over the line, but this is supposed to be only an hour. Because I'm just from the last few years, there's way too many. Like
Moutinho, the glaring one.
That what?
The glaring one, I think.
Moutinho? Yeah, it is, and it still stings a little bit, and he's going to play against us in the Champions League now. Bastard.
I think he scored yesterday against PSG.
Yeah, he did, apparently.
That's even better, isn't it?
Yeah, it sort of sets it all up.
How different would it have been, I mean, again, not to get misty-eyed about it, because he was AVB's...
Mm. He was the one that he really wanted.
If we had him, that whole system possibly
I think we would have moved to like a 4-3-3, like he had at Porto.
We just didn't have
the midfielder would have been Sandro holding, Dembele as the carrier, and Moutinho the playmaker.
And then he wanted Hulk and William, didn't he, at various points.
So then with Bale on the other wing.
I think Bale would have gone front.
Yeah, Bale had number 9 in that pre-season.
Yeah. Wow, okay.
Yeah, he did. He wear number 9. That was a... Yeah. All right, we could do players leaving as well. Didn't enjoy Bale, but inevitable.
Yeah.
It got to the final week and it still hadn't gone. There was a little bit of hope that maybe Real Madrid's not going to go through with this.
Yeah, maybe we're going to Modric him and just not do anything. Yeah. And then he'll stay and they'd be like, well, you can sit in the reserves for a year and kind of ruin your first 6 months at your new club, or you can play for us. Mm. Didn't really care about Modric. It happened.
Modric didn't care about until I realised no one else on our team can actually pass a ball.
Very true. Very true. Maybe the actual transfer of it, once I knew it was happening.
Yeah, it was quite painless.
You can't stop it, yeah. And it was after he had given us another season.
Yeah. It almost makes it easy that he was going to Real Madrid as well.
If we went to Chelsea in the year before, that would have been huge.
Demoralising. That would have been horrific.
He would have really fit in with Ancelotti there.
Yeah. Definitely, yeah. But we can all thank our lucky stars that he still would be there and he'd still be bossing the Premier League. Yeah. So, I think that's probably all we've got time for. To be honest, I feel really bummed out. we've had a poor performance. We're going to have a shit transfer window to go in line with all the other shit transfer windows that we've had.
Stoke away next, isn't it?
Stoke away next. I had a dream. We lost 2-0 to them.
Yeah. They're bottom of the league, I think.
That sets it up nicely, Tottenham, doesn't it? Yes. Although. Transfer window ends Wednesday. Then we've got international break and then it's Stoke afterwards. Yeah, it's quite exciting. Just quickly before we go, guys, thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Phil and Sean, obviously Phil single walk suds, Sean Walsh _97 or son of Dan Killy P for future. Next week we've got something slightly different. We're going to be out on Tuesday night probably. We are hopefully going to be speaking to a couple of guys. Obviously last season we did the Harry Redknapp special and the AVB specials during the international breaks last season, purely because there was no game to talk about. We're going to try and do the same this season and have slightly different topics. And this one next week is hopefully going to be on White Hart Lane. Because of the redevelopment and, as we mentioned, with the stadium earlier. So we're not 100% sure who we're getting on, but it should be a really good one. Dan will be back with me, and two others will hopefully make it quite a nice little feature pod. So look out for that one. In the meantime, again, thank you very much, guys. See you soon, and see you guys soon. Thanks very much. Come on, you Spurs.
We'll be right back. League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.